This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Donald Trump wants Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the Health and Human Services Department. It's unclear as of now what his agenda will be, but he has been skeptical of fluoridated drinking water and childhood vaccines. Sony Salzman is coordinating producer of the ABC News Medical Unit.
Sources are telling us that President-elect Donald Trump is considering tapping his top defense attorney, Todd Blanchard.
That's actually ABC's Rachel Scott talking about the deputy defense attorney and attorney general. Senators from both parties are asking to see the House Ethics Committee report concerning Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz before they vote on that confirmation. The investigation against Gaetz for alleged sexual misconduct and illicit drug use was dropped after Gaetz resigned. Americans have been stepping up their spending, at least they did last month. Retail sales rose 0.4% from September to October, the Commerce Department making that announcement this morning. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Thursday was Melissa Agard's first day as Dane County Executive. She was sworn in at the Alliant Energy Center on Wednesday. She now leads the fastest-growing county in Wisconsin, and because of that, the county is facing a housing crisis. Agard said affordable housing will be one of her top priorities. When you look at the fastest-growing cities across the state, the top three are in Dane County, Madison, Fitchburg, and Sun Prairie. It's also a major driver of the Wisconsin economy. However, all this growth means needing more resources and more money to keep up services for a bigger population. But like many other municipalities, the funding formula from the state is putting them in a bind. Shared revenue for cities and counties has stayed the same throughout high inflation over the last few years. So even as the county is collecting more taxes from all these new residents, they're not getting enough back to sustain services for the bigger population. Long story short, there are tough problems ahead for Agard as she leads Dane County. She said some of her other top priorities are lowering overdose deaths, increasing mental health resources, and reforming the criminal justice system. Kat Griffith, who lived and worked in Latin America for a number of years, will present Asylum, the Changing Face of Migration, in the community room of the Village of Gays Mills Community Commerce Center. She is currently a Fond du Lac County Board Supervisor and is committed to bipartisanship and respectful dialogue across political differences. The event will be held Sunday. The program will close with a discussion of how to have a better national conversation about immigration. The event is hosted by the Kickapoo Valley Friends Meeting and the Gays Mills Public Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Still waiting for Chris. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks head to Charlotte to take on the Hornets tomorrow night. Milwaukee now 4-8. The Hornets are 4-7. Chris Middleton is yet to play after surgery this summer on both of his ankles. Head coach Doc Rivers on whether there's a growing frustration regarding Middleton.
No. I mean, obviously we want Chris to play, but Chris is doing all the work. He's working his butt off. That's all. You know, as a coach, that's all you can ask for. And we were hoping we were going to be healthy, but we're not. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Men's college basketball should be a special night tonight at the Kohl Center as the Badgers honor Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan and members of the 2014-15 team that went on to the Final Four. Meanwhile, the Badgers have their work cut out for them, hosting Arizona, the number 9th ranked team in the nation.
Now we've got a tremendous test coming at us on Friday. You know, an extremely big team, an experienced team. Caleb Love backed one of the guard positions, put a lot of pressure on the rim. Obviously a really, really good team.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a nice weekend, and you're going to want to get out and enjoy it because things are going to start to go downhill next week. A little fog this morning, then partly cloudy. Our high 53 today will drop to 39 tonight, 54 tomorrow with some showers tomorrow night. On Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the one and only Frank Hermans, who is live in the studio, and I will definitely let him be Frank. It's also a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music and fun convo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Nobody knows what lies ahead. Life is short, to say the least. We're in the belly of the beast. Be still, wild and young. Long may your innocence reign like shells on. Be unknown, and may your efforts be your own. If you ever feel you can't take it anymore, don't break character.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy. I'm Sandy, the music.
Yeah, it's basically hold tight. You know, things are going to be what they're going to be. We can make do with it. That's kind of a cool song. I hadn't heard it before. Be Still by the Killers. I can't even tell you.
Be Still by the Killers.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A., good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
The Killers are a very good group. Earl, I hope you just allow me a second because I need to vent here for a second. First, CJ, Dave, and Gary, we have admitted that you won. So maybe you could stop calling in on each show each day and calling our candidate names. You are 12-year-old and 80-year-old body boys. So can you just stop it? We already admitted that we lost. Second, I hope Civic Media points out every single person who dies on Trump's watch, whether it be from an illegal immigrant or the pandemic person, or at least 13 of them, so we can hammer this home every single day. And Sandy, with all due respect, you sound like you were talking about the people that you were talking about the other day. You sound like a Democratic Harvard elitist, and you sound like you're someone that Project 2025 is normal. You act like this president is not normal. You want to speak like everything will be okay. You have not listened to the plight of the callers and allowed any of us to vent. You just want to tell people that they voted the way they did. You're not listening to the Democratic callers. You're making us feel like our Democratic representatives, feeling like we just have to get over it. You know, somewhere there's got to be some healing involved here. You had a show the other day where you wanted to hear from people that why did they vote the way they did? Well, you know what? We honestly, in some ways, not many people showed up to vote. Well, first off, in other states that are not battleground states, you're right. Those people didn't show up. You wonder why? The media constantly talks about the Electoral College and that's how you win. Maybe if we actually had a media that talked about how important the vote was overall, maybe then you would have had the record numbers that you've had overall as a country. But if you look at the battleground states, more people showed up in the battleground states than they did in the last two elections. So I just would really like for you to at least have a little bit of kindness, a little bit of commonality with some of us callers that are calling in, because this is not just a simple, we just move on. Donald Trump is not a normal person.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
I don't understand it, quite frankly. I have a great deal of empathy and compassion and a great deal of concern. I'm just saying we have to keep our eyes open and figure out how we make the best of it and maybe get some advantages out of the process. But, the Tuesday show was aimed at talking to people who didn't vote for Kamala Harris and to find out why. It seems to me that's a really good exercise. So anyway.
You know, Sandy, there are clearly wounds and people who are wounded and people who this was a rigorous fight and people who have gone through a lot, you know, and emotionally. And, you know, the thing about politics is it's a dirty game. And
unfortunately, it's turned into a blood sport, and that's the problem with it. And the blood sport has spilled over onto us so that we feel like as emotional as Tom feels. I'm not without emotion. I'm still in a very dulled state trying to absorb the fact that we're headed the direction we're headed. But I think we all have to be analysts, number one. I think that's the job of the media. And I don't know. You know, I think that one of the things that the Democratic Party needs to explore is the question of why did people who voted for Trump vote for Trump? And we need it, to understand that. What we do about it after we understand it is another thing. But, you know, we had this morning on NPR, there was the senator from, I believe, Connecticut was on talking about the very same thing that I was talking about on Tuesday, trying to understand what it is and how it is that the Democratic Party can better communicate its message.
Well, plus none of this is personal. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Well, I am going to surprise you, Earl, and possibly disappoint you, but I voted for Mr. Trump.
That didn't surprise me. You didn't surprise me with that, but so go ahead.
And you want to know why?
Yes.
Make the decision to vote for Trump. I do not like Trump. I was fully sober when I punched that ticket for Mr. Trump. For me, I can't speak for everyone who did. For me, it was a protest vote against the Democratic Party. Number one, I was not pleased with the Democratic Party not having a primary election. It came across as rigging the system in favor of Kamala Harris. Now, Kamala Harris was very talented, but she was just not ready to ascend to the presidency. Not at this time. She just was not ready. She did have 100 days, and that is very little time to introduce yourself to the public. So there were some structural issues with Kamala Harris. Number two, I know you all may disagree, but she, you know, what really turned it for me was when at some of the town meetings, she was asked, what would you accomplish in your first 100 days? That's what I needed to know. I wanted to hear a clear, articulate message of what she wanted to accomplish. What was her vision for the country? And as I said before, I am not you know, one of the Trump cult aficionados, but the Democratic Party must change, and they must move away from their donor base, and that's a huge part of the problem. Kamala Harris, in many ways, her hands were tied behind her back because she had donors who were telling her, this is what I want. And I listened to a few reporters who were quite familiar with her campaign. And something that many of them stated was one of the failures of Kamala Harris was that she did not like to make decisive decisions under pressure. She was presented with information about the campaign, but for whatever reason, she did not want to rebel against the donors and say, here is where my stand, here's my philosophical position, and if it means you can't support me, then take your money and walk away.
So, Cassandra, I don't understand. You're a very well-educated woman, and you say, I didn't like Donald Trump, but Kamala Harris wasn't ready. So I don't understand that thought process. I'm going to vote for a man who we know is mentally unstable. I'm going to vote for a man who is a criminal. I'm going to throw all those things away because Kamala Harris didn't do a few things that you didn't agree with. How do we get from that point to supporting a man who, as Sandy and I have talked about, is in a position to change the world economy, to do some things that are going to be permanently damaging to the American and the world?
Okay, Earl. From my perspective, and I'm only speaking for myself,
right.
when I went in to vote, my vote did not represent the present. I have two adult children, and I am looking for the future. The future is for the Democratic Party to get their act together, put together an economic plan, unrig the economy. And by unrigging the economy, what I mean is creating a new economic agenda where you level the playing field and you reduce social inequality. That's what they need to do. And instead of promoting an economic plan, what we get a lot of, and I hate to use the talking points from the right, is that there is a focus on racial identity.
Okay, skip. So, Cassandra, what you said early on is what has been, I think, reported by others as well, is that in large part you were voting against the Democrats and against the current form of the Democratic Party. And what you're saying now is that you're hoping that your vote will prompt the Democrats to revise their policy initiatives. But meanwhile, you voted for a person and a party who isn't proposing to do anything along the lines of what you're talking about in terms of leveling the playing field.
You're right. I said I went in with a very
strong heart. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show and my co-host Sandy Williams.
From the Center, WRCE.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game and honestly try to do it before every practice. Challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Stop, take it in and I breathe for a minute. I think too much when I'm alone. I never win when I keep all my thoughts inside, so I'll pick up the phone. And my dad says, Sean, stay with me. Everything will be alright. I know I haven't seen you lately, but you're always on my mind.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, man, did Cassandra have a lot to say? And I think Cassandra kind of represented what you've been talking about.
Well, I think a lot of people were voting against things, okay, and it's not for things, and it's easier to understand when you understand it that way, because it's hard to understand how so many people voted for what it is that Donald Trump was or wasn't talking about on the campaign trail. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a complex bag of things, and I'm not sure if we understand it all, it'll help that much, but we need to try to understand it all.
Well, Cassandra says she didn't think that Kamala Harris was ready, yet she votes for a man who's talking like a guy who wants to rule the world. How do you? I don't understand that, Sandy, that dichotomy.
I think a lot of people, I think when a vote is based on emotional thought processes, you've got an oxymoron. The thought processes go out and the emotions are what come in. So I think a lot of people are trying to explain to themselves why they voted as they did, and sometimes it doesn't make sense.
Well, they'll soon find out. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what? Cindy from Appleton?
The last call just totally disturbed me. I just, as a woman, I don't understand how another woman can vote for a convicted rapist. And she said that Kamala wasn't ready. This felon that has been elected to the presidency was not ready to be president the last time, is not any more ready to be president this time. And it's not about, if you're the president, you're not necessarily running the country yourself. You're appointing cabinet people to help you out. And she would have selected cabinet people that have some brains and care about this country. But instead, we're going to get this lunatic and all these other lunatics that are going to run this country into the ground. And if you're upset at the Democrats, don't take it out on all the rest. Put a crazy man in charge of the United States of America.
Hey, Cindy, very well said. Let's go. Tony says Cassandra is the voter who was convinced Trump was bad but wasn't sold why to vote for Democrats. That's the slice of the voters that get Dems over the 50% mark, have, you know, have to convince them and reach them. Let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Hey, how's it going? Point that I was gonna, I just want to bring up now that it's not my point that I called, but I guarantee more people voted against Donald Trump than voted against Kamala Harris, if you want to look at it that way, from whatever Cassandra's saying. There's definitely way more people voting against Donald Trump than against Kamala Harris, if you broke that down. But my main point is, first of all, Sandy, I appreciate a lot of your positivity. I think it's great. You're bringing up very fair points, and with the lemonade and stuff, I'd love to give you an invitation to the bandwagon. I'll even open the door for you. I'll give you a nice icy glass cold
don't worry.
Maga lemonade.
Actually,
it's
Chad,
tasting thing in the world.
You'll be wasting that on me. I'm not about to get on the bandwagon. I'm just saying a watchful eye. There's always a potential for upside, even in a downside situation. Any of us who worked in business understand that when a door closes, another door opens, maybe.
Beautiful. And I know Earl wants to join, too. Eventually he will. But my point is, back to what I was saying before, after the election happened. Now I'm looking at the updated numbers, and Kamala, she lost 8 million votes. President Trump has gained 2 million from Joe Biden. She lost 8 million votes from Joe Biden in the popular vote.
Well, okay,
President Trump has gained 2 million. And I think it's imperative for Republicans and Democrats to find out what the heck has happened here. It's either a combination of what we've been thinking, that something was fishy about the 2020 election, or what CJ and I have also said, that she was a terrible flawed candidate.
Well, that's ridiculous, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles. You say what?
Good morning, guys. You know, I'm in Phoenix, soaking up the sun. Was listening all weekend. No plans on calling in until Cassandra called. And all I can say is, wow. What I don't understand is Trump ran in 2016 on hate. He said that he's this great business owner. He's going to do all these great things. He did a tax cut, $2 trillion. I'm wondering how much of that tax cut did Cassandra benefit from. Cassandra sounds just like Gary, Dave, and CJ. Oh, I don't like what Trump says, but his policies, I said this before, he ran in on a great economy that Obama and Biden left him. He tanked it by not handling COVID right. He's about to run in again on another great economy that Biden and Harris is leaving him. All he talked about was hate. He's a sexual predator. Several of his cabinet members that he would like to get in there are also sexual predators. Birds of a feather flock together. This man is nothing but hate. I'm not sure what Cassandra's problem is. It reminds me of, like I said, my mom's aunt, who said that, what did Obama know about being a president? He was a black man. And I think there's some hate there, because we had a woman, we had two women that were more qualified than Donald Trump will ever be. And this country decided we can't elect a woman. You were brought into this world by a woman. So I don't understand this hate toward women.
Hey, Charles, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You just gotta hold on. All we can do is hold on, yeah. All we can do is hold on. Yeah, you just gotta hold on, just hold on, just hold on for me. And my dad says, Sean, stay with me.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo, held last month in Indianapolis, featured many activities and events. One of the events featured was a speaking competition. Richland Center FFA alumnus Simone Sirian earned the honor to speak at the national convention.
I have done speaking events in the past. The one that I went to nationals for this year is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. So this one revolves around agricultural topics. So what happens is you go to the competition and you grab three topics. They're all agricultural based. And then from those three topics, you pick one, and then you get 30 minutes to write a 5 to 6 minute speech, depending on what you grab for that topic. And then you have 5 minutes of questioning from the judges. So how that goes is you have your districts, and then you have your sectionals, and then you have state, and then the state winner moves on to nationals.
The competition featured many high school FFA members from around the country. Simone graduated from Richland Center High School in May, but qualified to advance to national competition when she was still a senior. Simone did not advance as far as she hoped she would, but did very well in the national competition by placing in one of the rounds.
Personally, I thought I could have done better, but in the grand scheme of things, I did place in the top half of the competitors. I won silver. So the way it goes is they break the states up into preliminary rounds. And then you compete in your preliminary, and then if you are in the first or second, you move on to the second round, which is considered the semifinals. Unfortunately, I did not move on to semifinals, but I did place third in my preliminary round, which allowed me to acquire that silver medal.
Congratulations to Simone Sirian on a job well done at the FFA National Convention, and best of luck in your college career. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's a story you would typically read in The Onion, which is interesting because it involves The Onion. The satirical newspaper has purchased right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' outlet InfoWars. InfoWars claimed bankruptcy due to lies spread about the Sandy Hook massacre. Does this seem like a strange marriage? It does indeed. One theory, according to Variety, says The Onion purchased the entity to keep it out of the hands of other alt-right conspiracy theorists. It's also not a bad publicity move for The Onion. To summarize the story, Area Man expects more truth and less lies with a dose of laughter. Variety reports that actress Sophie Turner will play Lara Croft in Amazon MGM's new Tomb Raider series. Variety says the Game of Thrones actress is the highest profile actress to play the role since Angelina Jolie and Alicia Vikander. The series is still in development stages. A release date has not yet been set. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a nice weekend, and you're going to want to get out and enjoy it because things are going to start to go downhill next week. A little fog this morning, then partly cloudy. Our high 53 today will drop to 39 tonight, 54 tomorrow with some showers tomorrow night. On Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Former Wisconsin Badger and NFL player Brady Ewing joins us to preview the big matchup at Camp Randall. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You
shit. I'm...
I took my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow covered hills till the landslide brought me down.
You know, Sandy, this, this kind of music kind of reminds me of, you know, some of the message music of the 60s and the war. And, you know, it really just, you know, the music, it doesn't require a lot of music, a lot of just lyrics.
Lyrics, right? Lyrics are big in message music, you know, so and. Turns out whenever I look for a theme, it's sort of a message, right? So I end up finding message music, which dates back usually a little bit.
All right, 855-752-4842. My co-host is Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Ann from Chippewa Falls. Hey, good morning to you, Ann. You say what?
Good morning. Would I ask these people that are calling in that voted for Trump because Kamala wasn't ready? What is it that Trump will give them so they won't be so angry? They voted for Trump because they're angry, and I get that. But how is Trump going to help them? I only have to say misery loves company, and Trump gave them that. More than half the country is angry, and that's how Trump related to them. He acted just as angry, and that was his selling point. So my question to these people is, how is Trump going to help you now? That's just the only thing I really want to know. I think that's where we need to start asking.
You know, and thank you very much, Sandy. I say the same thing. Your response.
Well, I agree with it. And I think that people were voting against their interests. Like I said, when emotions are the basis, then it's hard for people to even explain to themselves why they voted. But I think all the people now who maybe did vote for him or didn't vote for him need to hold his feet to the fire about delivering to Tom, Dick, and Mary, which he's not going to do, right? So they need to make sure that they're vigilant about and stand up about the policies that he does implement that aren't aimed at leveling the playing field, as Cassandra talked about, or handling the issues associated with that budget that Tom, Dick, and Mary suffer so much and the paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle that so many people live. You know, those we all need to get vigilant about that and make sure that the next administration hears a lot about that. And when they start wanting to reduce corporate taxes or reduce taxes that that redound to the wealthy but not to the to the less wealthy, then they need to stand up about that too. You know, we need to hold Congress's feet to the fire.
Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you for the call.
Good morning. Another interesting morning. I have to agree with Charles and Cassandra. I disagree with her completely. I would never have done what she has done. Harris was, in my opinion, overqualified. And I think she did a rather good job of stating what she was going to do, what her plans were for the country. Trump, on the other hand, didn't have any plans. He still doesn't have any plans. And what he's going to do with this country is he's going to batter this country because he's going to, those people who did not support him, he's going to show them. And unfortunately, the poor are the ones who are going to be the victims.
No question.
I feel so sorry. I feel so sorry for these people. I want to cry because I don't know what's going to happen to them. And when he starts implementing these crazy programs that they've decided to do, and it's going to be terrible. My heart goes out to them. But it does remind me a lot of the 60s. It reminds me of how people got together and walked across the bridges and actually championed civil rights and were against the war in Vietnam. One of the reasons why I voted against the war in Vietnam because half my class never came back.
Hey Susan, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning. And Sandy, I understand the music, but I need something in the morning that wakes me up.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff puts me to sleep.
Well, that's called coffee.
Anyway. No.
Okay, go ahead.
I listen to the radio to help wake me up.
All right,
anyway, go ahead. This stuff that Cassandra was talking about, basically, and I'm going to say it blatantly, she voted white. She lives in Middleton, Wisconsin, a wealthy part of the state outside of Madison, where the politicians and the wealthy people live. And in most cases, and almost every election, if you go back and look at the records, the women vote for whoever their husband votes for, no matter what the person's qualifications are. And Kamala Harris was more qualified than most of the people who have been president in the past. And that's just a ridiculous statement. I said that the other day when I called in when Sandy was there. The racism and, I mean, that's what was voted on. It was racism and power over everybody else. Trump is an idiot. He's always going to be an idiot. And everything else is about money. And the people he's trying to put in his cabinet are all about the same thing he's about, money. They don't give a damn about people.
Hey, Al.
Have a good morning, John.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
You know, it's funny listening to you guys talk. I've heard name-calling, idiots, and everything else. Well, you know what? Donald Trump is a lot smarter than he looks because he's the president of the United States. More people in this country voted for him. They want to change. Kamala Harris was the most unpopular rated vice president in years. And
where do you get that from? Where do you get that from?
Her popularity was at 35%, and that's a fact, and everybody knows that. One of the things that I listened to was watching MSNBC when they had this roundtable. They had this guy, Democrat, and he went out there and he said, look, we've been lying to people. We've been lying to ourselves. And he was talking about the transgender thing and about the men in sports and going in the locker rooms. He said, we know it's a lie. We got to straighten that out. We have to distance ourselves from this. And this guy's telling the truth. Why don't you just tell the truth to yourselves, get your act together again, and then start working on
Gary, when you tell somebody to tell the truth to themselves, how, you know, the fact that you could fix your mouth to say that, when I looked at all the different advertisements that were on television that were filled with nothing but lies that came from the Republicans, total lies. The fact that you can dare fix your mouth to tell anybody that they should, you know, that they should stop telling lies is just a ridiculous statement on its face.
Well, and the other side is that the Democratic Party is doing a self-examination. Any party coming out of an election like this is going to try to evaluate why and what should happen going forward. And I hope that the people who voted for the person who won office will also keep reevaluating the situation and how it plays out. Because as I was, you know, I talked about making a lemonade out of lemon, but there is going to be a lot of lemon. If the policies that seem to be being teed up based on the nominations for the cabinet, the discussion during the campaign, what is built into Project 2025, let me tell you that there's a lot of bull in the china shop kind of policy discussion that has a great deal of potential for problems. And I just hope that everybody is alert to what it is that they need and want to have happen going forward to make sure that
we can make put the right middle class in the right position, get our economy going as it should be going, and redesigned.
So, Sandy, because the Republicans won does not mean that the middle class is now, all of the issues are going to be addressed and Donald Trump is going to wave a magic wand and all that's going to go away for them.
Well, quite frankly, none of the policies being discussed are actually aimed at the middle class, okay? So there's some potential for trickle down that the right would describe with a corporate tax reduction or otherwise a tax reduction. But let me tell you, the tariff increases are not aimed at the middle class, and neither is any of the rest of it what's been discussed. So I like I said, I just think everybody should be alert to what happens next, because whether you voted for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump, they're promising to do a bunch of what I would describe as radical changes. And some Washington needs some changes. We need to affect K Street's control over things. There's some things that need to happen. And if there's collateral benefits out of all this damage, you know, there's usually the discussions the other way around about collateral damage out of whatever is happening. In my view, I think there's more likely to be the collateral benefits out of the damage that's being aimed into Washington. But in any case, I think we should be alert for benefits and take advantage of them, and we all need to be alert to what could otherwise happen.
Let's go to Dale from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Dale. You say what? Dale from Kenosha. Go ahead.
January. Yes, I think in January of this year, the Biden administration sort of came out and said, yes, the groceries are too high. We're going to do all we can to, you know, to make that situation better. But in the meanwhile, it's going to take some time and put out a payment. We're going to put out a payment of $1,200 in the meanwhile to help you with this situation. I think that would have helped a lot. I think it probably would bring a lot more people to the Democrats with the swing states. So I think that could have made a big difference.
Hey, Dale, the Biden administration couldn't wave a magic wand and do that. And part of if they would have attempted to do that, it would have fed into, Sandy, what many people said was the main reason for overheating the economy in the first place, doing what they did with helping people with the COVID dollars that were necessary at the time. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, and there was a worldwide he's saying the money would be sent out to help with the inflation. Interesting idea. It's the chicken in the pot kind of a concept of politics, and it would have been a very difficult thing to do, and it would have probably been counterproductive in terms of harnessing inflation.
Dale, thank you very – oh, we still got to – let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you for the call, Dale.
Thanks for taking my call. For the last year, all I've heard from the Democrat Party is that I'm a sexist, I'm a racist. Well, if that's the case, then the African Americans that voted for him, the Hispanics that voted for him, the females that voted for Trump, are they all racist and sexist as well? I mean, understand, I voted for Trump because I thought Kamala Harris was a really bad candidate that you guys just shoved through. Gary's right. Her approval rating 6 months ago was at 35%, and you pushed her through in a non-democratic way, which is it's totally legal. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but a lot of people did frown on that.
See, here's what gets me, Sandy. They make excuses for why they voted for Donald Trump because Kamala Harris was so terrible. You don't have to make an excuse for why you voted for Donald Trump. You voted for Donald Trump because you wanted to vote for Donald Trump. What gets me, Sandy, is when they add the caveat, because she was such a bad candidate, this is why I voted for Donald Trump.
Well, I think, like I said, I think lots of people have trouble explaining to themselves why they voted, because I think the emotional chaos that was created during the election caused a lot of people to mask judgment in the process of voting.
All right. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
And if you see
News from the Center, WRCE.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habish-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I am just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I squandered my resistance.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, the wounds are still raw. I think they're going to be raw for some time.
Well, absolutely. It was a very emotional process. The candidates were very different from one another. The feelings were strong both ways. But we do have to move on, and we have to figure out what's next, what the process is. I think people need to get more politically vigilant, not less. If anything, it's like the Chinese curse, let you live in an interesting world. This world's a little too interesting.
Let's go to Josh from Merrill. Good morning to you, Josh. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Well, wanted to call in. There's been a lot of talk about, gentleman just called in about how they was called racist. I was raised conservative, and I'm no longer conservative. I was out knocking doors for Kamala, hoping that we would not get Trump, and really pushing for her. But now that the election's over and we lost, I think it's time that we really take a deep breath and look at why people on the other side are saying things that they are hearing, that they're being called racist and sexist. Because it's not easy to come over from being conservative. There's a lot of anger. Much of it is justified, but it's hard to change when you think the other people hate you. And if we want change and we want people to be willing to come and listen to equality and, trans rights and things like that, we need to show them that we are about love and caring for each other. And I guess my plea here is just for everyone on the Democratic side to take a minute and remember that the people who are conservative, yeah, there's some terrible people, I'm not going to lie, but a lot of them were raised in a situation where they didn't have the benefit of seeing other people as people. I was raised, gay people weren't people. They were day demons. They were trying to destroy our country, destroy our families. And when I actually got to know some, that's when I started to realize that everything I'd been taught was wrong. And, you know, actually the Christian teachings of love thy neighbor and stuff like that really was what made me become leftist. And like I said, it wasn't easy. There's a lot of anger. And
so Josh, let me ask you, Sandy, because the perception is that Democrats hated conservatives and Republicans. But everything that I was hearing from the rhetoric from conservative sides of things were about, and Donald Trump was ramping up the no good people on the other side. Oh, yeah. So what is this?
Well, I think once you've got enemies, you've got enemies. So if you bite on the notion that because they're calling me a Marxist, they're my enemy because I'm their enemy, right? We've talked about that in foreign affairs. If you declare someone to be your enemy, they've become you are their enemy as well, and it becomes bilateral. And so there's been a lot of this bilateral kind of developing hate. But, I mean, I heard a thing this morning that I think the Democrats do have too many litmus tests on what it is they require to be an accepted, a fully accepted liberal, so to speak. And I think what this caller is talking about is cutting down on litmus tests and not being in a position to be accused of cancellation, you know, the whole cancel kind of society kind of thing, which the Democrats have been accused of, liberals have been accused of canceling others who don't agree with them. Well, you know, I think what we need to do is have a dialogue, understand why there's disagreement, try to figure out what the most important things are that we agree about so that we can get them accomplished.
You know, Sandy, quickly, I always hear people say, I used to be a Republican, now I'm a Democrat. So I came over from the other side. But rarely do I hear it the other way around.
No, I think we're hearing, we've actually heard today the other way around that people were raised liberal. I mean, Gary from Sussex tells us that people can say whatever they want to say. I understand.
Right.
Well, I think people have converted, and I think there is a trend in the country in the direction somewhat of moving rightward. I just think what we need to do is figure out what we all most care about that we need to accomplish and figure out how we reach agreement with respect to those so we can accomplish something.
Hey, Josh, thank you very much for the call. Don from Milwaukee. Don, quickly.
Okay, good morning. Quick statement here. Who was Trump going to put on his cabinet for Secretary of Treasury, a bank robber?
Don, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, if nothing else, what we get an opportunity to have on our show is both sides. And unlike many other shows, we have an opportunity to have this dialogue.
Well, I think this is a place where people can meet. There's no litmus test for who can call in. And in spite of the fact that we had people today calling from the left who are angry with us, I think that the process needs to be a place of open discussion, a forum to try and figure out what and why, and to keep our head up.
All right. So thank everybody who made the show go, as always. Thank you, Sandy. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you, Calvin. You know, hey, take a deep breath. Up next, Jane Madner and Greg Bach, Madner on Air. Have a great weekend.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will join me talking about Juan Merchan delaying his decision. Plus, we will review Trump's cabinet picks, Kennedy and Gates. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.